Yud Tes Adar, Friday the 1st of March, Rabbi Menachem Apter, Parshas Parah, are we getting the message?
I'd like to thank you for inviting me again to speak here. And in America they say always that England, when it comes to time, is 5 hours ahead and 20 years behind. When it comes to Torah way, they're certainly already 6 years ahead. Whenever I tell people about it, they're amazed. There is no such thing in the United States. Talk a little bit about Parah Adumah's parasha. Parah this week tied into the parasha a little bit. When somebody becomes Tomei Meis, they mitar themselves with our Parah Adumah. And we can ask a question. Why is it that it has to be a cow? Why not a sheep? Why not a goat? What is the significance of dafka cow? And the next question, of course, is why red? Why not brown, white, green, or blue? What is the significance, dafka, a red cow? Before we get to the answer, I'd like to bring it out a couple of stories. The Chazon Ish used to have problems with his stomach and used to take walks, long walks. And this was before he was known. When he first arrived, nobody knew who he was. So he would take these walks, he would walk past a certain field every day. And one day, the owner of the field comes over to him. And he says to the Chazon Ish, every day I see you walking over here. You know, I understand you can't sit in a Beis Medrash and learn. But at least take it to him. You should say to him every day at least if you can't learn. So after that, the Chazon Ish avoided going past that field. Sometime later, this person, the owner of the field, had problems with Pranosa. He went to Yerushalayim to his Rebbe, this Villa Rebbe, to get a bracha from him. His Rebbe said to him, listen, you want a bracha, I'll tell you who to get a bracha from. Go to the Chazon Ish in Bnei Brak. He says, who? There's somebody in Bnei Brak, the Chazon Ish, you'll find out who he is. Go to him and he'll give you a bracha. He says, okay. He finds out where the Chazon Ish lives and he comes to his house. He walks in, he gets the shock of his life when he sees who the Chazon Ish is. He starts begging Mechila. The Chazon Ish looks at him. He jumps up, he hugs him. He says, I have to thank you. He says, what for? He says, before you told me about saying Tehillim, I never used to say Tehillim much. But then you said to me, I should start saying Tehillim. And since then, every day I say some Tehillim. Thank you very much. It's one story. There's another story. Rav Moshe Leib Mitzasov, he used to go away on trips. Whenever he came home, he used to bring back presents for his children. One time, he comes back, and the children ask him, Tati, what did you bring us? He said, I didn't bring you anything. So he said to him, it cannot be. You're away so long, and you didn't bring us anything? And right away, Moshe Leib Mitzasov fainted. They revived him, and asked him, what happened? So he said, when they said those words to him, he was thinking that's exactly the question they're going to ask him after 120. You were down there in this world so long and you didn't bring us anything? What are you bringing back for us? Third story. Rav Shimon Schwab. How did he become Rav Shimon Schwab? He writes about it in this week's parasha. He says he once spent a Shabbos by the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish by the Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim said to him, have you heard, I don't know if you've heard, that Makoyim? He said, yeah, I've heard. He said, are you a Kohen? He said to Rav Shimon Schwab. Rav Schwab said, no, I'm not a Kohen. So he says, you know, it's sad you're not a Kohen. Because soon Mitzvah, the Beis HaMikdash, is going to be rebuilt. And then I'm going to go running to do the Avodah. You're going to want to go. You're not going to be able to go and do the Avodah. Kol Hazara Karav Yomos. And so, you've lost out. He says, you know why that is? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mi Lashem Elai, after the eagle, my Zaydas went running, while your Zaydas, they didn't move at all. There's going to be times in life when you hear, Mi Lashem Elai, and when you hear that next time, make sure you go running. These stories all have a common denominator. And this common denominator we can bring out is something, another story. The Talmidim, the Baal Shem, came to him and said, the Mishnah says in Ovis, Bechol Yoyim V'Yoyim, every day, baskel yoytzis ma'achayref. There's a baskel that goes out from Har Sinai. Umachrezes va'emeres. It announces, oy lehem lebriyos. Woe to the people. Me'al boinish al Torah. For the disregard of Torah. So they said to the Baal Shem Tov, this baskel, we never heard it. And we've asked many other people, and none of them have heard it. Have you ever heard this baskel that goes out every day? And the Baal Shem Tov said, Yes, I've heard the Paschal. You've also heard the Paschal. Everybody hears this Paschal. Says, you know what this Paschal is? This Paschal is this Eirus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person. Every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending us messengers. And those messengers are messages of this Eirus. And when we feel and we tune into that frequency, and then we feel that it's Eirus, we have to go and do something about it. There are times when we actually feel that it's Eirus. But that Eirus is always there in different occasions. And the Chazon Ish, he had his Eirus like that. This person said to Satan, and he started saying to him. Rav Moshe Levi Sassov had his Eirus. And Rav Schwab had his Eirus and became who he became. Every time in life, we're sent a message from the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're sent a Eirus. It's our job now to take it and do something about it. On many phones, cell phones, they have something called on it, a ringing tone called mosquito tone. This mosquito tone is very convenient for children in class, because if you're over 40, you can't hear it anymore. It's a very high-pitched tone. In other words, you've got to be able to tune into the frequency. And that is the same with this Basco. Give you an example that happened. It's Mamish and Emerson Meiser. It's hard to believe this story. This was after we had the Asifa for the internet in City Fields. And my wife was working in an office, and the Hasid Shehid came in, and he had to do something on the computer. And he was very nervous about it. He never really touched the computer much. But he had to do certain things, and they're explaining to him what to do. All of a sudden, comes up on the computer screen. In red, it comes up. AVIRA, Avira Spyware Protection. He sees that there. He starts screaming, Oi, Avira, Avira. That's it, I'm not doing it. Somebody else has to do this. He got the message. The messages can sometimes be very subtle. We all know the story of Akiva. He saw water making a hole in a stone. And he said, if water can make a hole in a stone, how much more so Torah can affect me? How many people went by that stone which the water had made a hole in and didn't even notice water had made a hole in the stone? How many people noticed the water had made a hole in a stone? And they said, gee whiz, the water made a hole in the stone. Who took a message from it? Rabbi Akiva tuned into the frequency. He took that message. And it's with everything in life. You get an invitation. It says the chuppah will be 7:30, B'diyuk. What does B'diyuk stand for? B'ez Yidin V'lankumen. It's there in everything. And you see how much the Torah expects from us. How much we're expected to tune in. It's not easy. We wear tzitzis. And it's supposed to have tcheles. What's the tcheles for? The tcheles is to remind us to the end of Kisa HaKovid. So you see the Kisei HaKovid when you see blue. How many people see blue and think of Kisei HaKovid? But there's times that we don't have to just hear the message. We have to make sure we even hear the right message. Sometimes we can get a message, but we might be hearing the wrong message. There's a story at the time of Prohibition in the United States when they ushered alcohol about 100 years ago. And there was a time when they were discussing whether to make the amendment to ask for alcohol. And there was a politician who was giving a drosha. And while he was giving his drosha, it happened to be at that time, and he was taking a walk. And his walk all of a sudden starts pouring, mamish, gushing down. And he's looking for somewhere to go, protection. And he sees this hall. He walks inside, and he hears this politician giving a speech. And the politician says there, you working class people, you drink, and all you do is you help the liquor store owners. They buy beautiful cars with your money. They build fancy houses with your money. They go on trips around the world with your money. But meanwhile, you get sick from the drinking. You lose your jobs over the drinking. Your families break up over the drinking. You have to stop the drinking. And he gives this whole inspirational speech. And when he finishes, people give him a standing ovation. And he'd also enjoyed it. He goes over to him to give him a yasher koach. He gives him a yasher koach. The politician looks him in the eye and he says to him, so now that means you're going to give up drinking? He says, well, actually, I was going to open a liquor store. It's important. It's important when you get the message, you have to make sure that you get the right message. And that is what happens dafka over here by Por Adumah. Rav Hutton explains why red and why a cow dafka. Where do we see red in the Torah the first time? We see red by Esav. Haliteni no mina odoy ha odoyim hazeh. Esav sees this red stuff, pour it down my throat. What happened at that time? Somebody had died. Avraham Avinu had died. Death is a very dangerous time. It's a zman when people are emotional. They're fragile. It's a difficult time for people. And it's very important at the time of death to make sure that one gets the right message, because there's a choice of messages. On one hand, there's an opportunity to mazkir yom hamisa, to remember what's going to be in the end. It can bring a person to tshuva, maisim tovim, seeing death. But on the other hand, it is also zman which the Novi Yeshaya writes about Rabbeinu Shlom complaining, ochlu v'shosu ki mochanomus, or the way they say it in the secular world is, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. A person can take it chapa right now, enjoy life while you can, or to start doing tshuva. So death is a dangerous time. So if somebody dies, there's this danger, and Esav was in this position. He was in this position now. Avraham Avinu, the greatest tzaddik, had died. And what did he take the message from that? He gave the message he took then was to give everything up. That is when he started doing Avodah Zarah B'Fahesya. That was the end of any connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom for him. So he took the message of death the wrong way. Where do we see a cow in the Torah? We see it this week's parasha, the eagle. Klal Yisrael did an eagle. What happened then? They thought that Moshe died. So if Moshe died, you could take it one of two ways. They could have taken the Zman of Tshuva Maisim Tovim. But how did they take it? Vayakumu letzachik. Znus, Avodah Zarah, whatever you want, they were doing then. They took the message the wrong way. You see, at this time, an emotional time like that, a fragile time, it's a Zman which can be Matahir Tameim. A person could encourage a person to Tshuva. On the other hand, it can be Matame Tahirim. And this is what happened by Esav. This is what happened Klal Yisrael by the eagle. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, whenever somebody dies, you want to become Torah now. You have to have a reminder to be careful at this time. You take a Poro Aduma, Dafka cow and Dafka red, to remind you, to make sure that you get the message. Take the message the right way. Sometimes it can be very dachistic to make that right decision. Where to go, how to turn. In this week's parasha, we have the posuk, Lois ishtachaveh le'el acher. And the reish of acher is large. We see also, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The dalud of Echad is large. In other words, it's very easy to make a mistake between a reish and a dalud. A dalud, you knock a little piece off the dalud, it becomes a reish. To differentiate between the reish and the dalud is not easy. You've got to be careful, because the Echad can become El Acher very easily. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe in this week's parasha, Lech Raid. They've gone and they've mixed up the Reish and the Dalet. Odom is told, you're always going to have this problem. After he ate from the Isadas, Kutz V'Daradar Tatzmiach. There's going to be thorns and thistles. Daradar, Reish Dal, Reish Dalet. To differentiate is not going to be easy between the Reish and the Dalet. So that is our job, to try and make sure, when it's darkistic like that, when it's a judgment call, that we choose correctly. But that is difficult, because we live in a world of choshech, in an almod shikra. Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, who in the last story was the greatest masmid in America, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir. So he one time came into the yeshiva, and he said, on my way to yeshiva this morning, I saw a billboard. On that billboard was a picture of Reggie Jackson, a baseball player, Reggie Jackson, eating Ronzoni spaghetti. And it says there, I love Ronzoni spaghetti. He said, I had two kashas on this billboard. My first kasha was, what based Reggie Jackson about spaghetti? He knows how to spiel baseball, but he doesn't know any more than I do. Why should I rely on him for Ronzoni spaghetti? And Svetensky said that even if he does know, every single person who sees this billboard knows that Ronzoni paid him to say this. And if Geffen would have paid him, he would have said, I love Geffen spaghetti. So why does anybody read this billboard and take any notice of it? Is it a raya that we live in such an alma de shikra? We live in a fake and a false world, and people are so easily led. We have to be so careful. The Gemara in Brachas Yud Zayin says, Rav used to always say this, Loi koilamazeh oilamabo. This world is not like the next world. Oilamabo in the next world. Ein boy, loyachila, v'loy shtia, v'loy puri rivia, v'loy masa matan, v'loy kina, v'loy sinna, v'loy tachlis. In the next world, you don't have eating and drinking. You don't have business. There's no jealousy. It's a different world, the next world. And it's tzaddikim yoishvin v'trisayim v'rishayim. The tzaddikim are sitting there with their crowns on their head and their nenim is v'ashchinim. So, Rav used to go around saying this. If I wouldn't have had Rav telling me this, what would have happened? Would I have thought in the next world there's beautiful restaurants? You could buy a $200 meal in a restaurant there. Would I have thought that? Why do I need Rav to tell me that in the next world there isn't jealousy in the next world? There isn't business in the next world? Who thought there's a stock market in the next world? Nobody thought that. And not only that, it was Marugaleva pointed to Rav. He used to go around saying this. In other words, he was saying it even for himself. What was the purpose? Pshat Nismarim. We're going to understand with a Maisa. There was a boat that was going from the Soviet Union to the United States. These people were emigrating. And the boat stops off on the way in France. They get off the boat, they've got 8 hours in France. And now people want to go and enjoy the sights of France. Everybody's got different ideas. The problem is, nobody speaks French. But comes onto the scene, Yankel. Yankel says, I knew we were stopping here. I learned French. And he helps every single person. One of them, he gets a taxi to go to Louvre, one to go to the Eiffel Tower, one to a restaurant for walks. Each one is helping. All of them are so impressed with Yankel. He learned French, he knew. They give him a nice tip. And then eventually, they return to the boat. For the rest of the trip, Yankel is the hero on the boat. Everybody realizes how smart this Yankel is. Everybody wants Yankel to sit at their table for the meals. And then they eventually arrive in America. They get off the boat, and now they have a problem. They need to get places. Nobody speaks English. No problem. We have Yankel. They go to Yankel. Can you get me a taxi? He says, I can't help you. So what do you mean? Ask in English for me. I don't speak English. What do you mean you don't speak English? You spoke French? Yeah, I learned French. I didn't learn English. And all of a sudden they realized what a nar this Yankel was. Yankel went and learned French because they spent 8 hours in France. But they're going to be for the rest of their lives in America. And he didn't learn to speak English. And we look at Yankel. What a nar, what an idiot. And every one of us does the same thing. And Rav saw that. This is how we live our lives. Marugaleva pomeda Rav. Rav used to always say over, Loi koilemaze oilemabo. This world and the next world have different languages. There's a language of this world, of gashmias, materialism, business, food. That's this world. But they don't speak that language in the next world. And we spend all our lives focused on the language of this world. And then the next world, they have a different language called ruchnias. And we don't focus on that one enough. This was the message that Rav was spreading. We live in Olam Choshech, an Alma de Shikra. And we have to hear the messages. It's so hard to hear a message when you're blinded constantly. And certainly to hear the right message. There's a story of a person standing outside a car dealership. And this man is watching a duck swimming in a pool of antifreeze and oil. And he's thinking to himself, how stupid this duck is. This duck is killing itself. It doesn't realize antifreeze and oil. How long is it going to last like that? And meanwhile, after watching for a little while, then he finishes his cigarette, puts it out, and he goes back inside the car dealership. This is the way we see messages, and we don't get the message correctly. How clearly we see this. Though we want to not see the message, we're not going to see it. We see it so clearly in Parshas Lech Lecha. We see over there, the Pasuk tells us, there's an argument. Says Rashi over there, his shepherds were rishoyim. They would let their animals graze in other people's fields. The shepherds of Avram, they would warn them, and they rebuke them, ala gezel. The Haymoyim, they said, it's not a problem, it's not Gezel at all. Nosna Oretzla Avram. The land was given to Avram. V'loy ain Yorish. He doesn't have anybody inheriting. V'loy Yorishai. Loy is going to inherit. So it sounds pretty good. And Rashi tells us why he was wrong. But they had it from the Cheshbon. They understood why they're allowed to do it. Because Lot is the only person who is going to inherit Avram. And Avram's going to get the land. And we go through this rush and we don't realize how crumb Lot was. This is such a symbolism for us. How we see in front of us. We see things, and if you don't want to see the emes, you're not going to see it. How did they know that Avram's going to get the land? Because they knew Avram had a nevuah. What was that nevuah? What was he told? Vayera Hashem el Avram. A few psukim earlier. Hashem appeared to Avram. Vayayim, and he said to him, Lezaracha etein etza oretz hazois. To your children I will give this land. So it's true. Avram is going to inherit the land. But included in the very same nevuah, Lezaracha, to your children. So if you knew the nevuah, how come you didn't see that part of the nevuah? You see so clearly, when somebody doesn't want to get the message, if they don't want to see the emes, they're not going to see the emes. So what do we have to do? What we have to do is, we have to get Das Torah. We have to try and remove our negias. Speak to other people. Just to show how hard it is to be able to see it. A story, negiah to this week's parasha, which I think brings out this point. How difficult it is sometimes to see the emes. Reb Yonason Ivershitz, he was learning in a koil. And he had a very wealthy shver. His wealthy shver gave him a nadan that would last him for the rest of his life. He was going to sit and learn. And in this koil, they built next door a church. And every so often the church bells would ring. And it would disturb their learning. They were very upset about it, but there was nothing they could do. The church was very powerful. But Rabbi Yonis Ivershitz Chavrusa got so incensed that one night he climbs up to the belfry, cuts the bells down, takes them, and he throws them in the river. The church, they looked into it, they did an investigation, and they found it was this person, this younger man, who had done it. He got arrested. And they knew in town then, it's going to be a death sentence for him. They wanted to get him out. They would do anything to get him out. He made a mistake. They wanted to help him. But there was no way they would be able to get him off. They found out one of the guards in the prison was known that if you give him enough money, you bribe him enough, he would let a prisoner escape. And so they go to this guard, they found out how much he wants, and they start fundraising the money they need. They came to Yosef Ivershitz first. They told him the amount. He said, you don't have to go to anybody else. I'll give you the whole money, and he gives his whole money. They said to him, okay, we'll get him out, and afterwards we'll collect money, we'll give you money back. He said, no, I don't need money back from anybody. I want to pay the whole thing. And Kachava, they gave the money to the guard, and this younger man escaped. Rabbi Yonason Ivershitz had a slight technical problem. He now has to explain to his wife that they are now going to be paupers for the rest of their life. It's not easy. How do you tell that to your wife? He decided the second she hears it, she's going to be really mad, really angry. So what he'll do is he'll go away for a few days. She'll find out what happened. And maybe she'll think a little bit, calm down a little bit. And he'll come back, explain to the chashivs of the mitzvah. He goes away for a few days. 2 days later, this guard who released the Ingoman is knocking at Mrs. Ivershitz's door. And he says, I need to speak to you. He sits down with her and he tells her that I was the one who released this younger man from the jail. And I hear the church are after me. They're on my trail. I have to run for my life. Over the years, I've collected a lot of money besides the money your husband gave. A lot of money. Jewelry. And I need to deposit it somewhere. So I'm asking you a favor. I don't trust anybody in the world, but I heard what your husband did. How he was willing to give every penny of his own money to release a friend of his. A person like that is a very special person. Please look after this money for me, and I'll reward you handsomely. So she says, okay. And then he says to her, if anything happens to me, I have no next of kin, no relatives at all. Anything that happens to me, the money is yours. So he leaves. The next day she hears that this guard was caught, and he was hanged. Another day goes by, Rabbi Ivershitz comes home. He knocks gingerly at the door, walks in slowly. He is terrified, he's trembling. He walks in the door and says, oh, the tzaddik is here, welcome. He says, what are you talking about? Oh, the Rabbi Shalom has paid you back, a kiflik of fly, oh, you're such a tzaddik. He says, what are you talking about? And she explains to Rabbi Ivershitz the whole story. As soon as he hears it, he bursts into tears. Now I ask any one of you, would you have burst into tears then? I certainly wouldn't have. This is where you see why we need to ask Torah. How people, they live on a different wavelength to us. He burst in tears. It was a big chesaron. What was wrong? He said, the Ribbono Shloilam didn't like the mitzvah I did. I went and I took the whole mitzvah for myself. Like we see by Machtzis HaShekel, we see in the parasha this week. There are times when everybody can be mishtatav in a mitzvah. People in town want to be mishtatav. I didn't let anybody be mishtatav. And the Ribbono Shel Olam has punished me. He's thrown the mitzvah back in my face. And he's paid me off now already in this world for the mitzvah that I did. How hard it is sometimes. We have negiyos. That's tough negiyos. I know myself. I said, Ribbono Shel Olam, I deserve that. Thank you very much. That is the lesson we have to take. We have to realize how difficult it is to make sure, to be careful about the negiyos, to make sure to listen carefully to the messages, to tune into the frequency. Like I said, it's not easy to tune in. And then when you've tuned into the frequency, make sure you take the right message. Mitzvah Shem, if we listen to the messages of Rabbi Yisroel, he will listen to our tefillahs until Mitzvah Shem was zoicha to hear the Kol Shov Mashiach Tzidkenu, Meir Yameinu, Amen.